Praise God. How's everybody feeling? Good, good, good. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you today for being the King of Glory and for allowing that revelation to be revealed to us. We thank you for who you are and for who you made us to be. God, we ask that you show yourself mighty and strong today. God, we ask that you illuminate our understanding of who you are today. God, if you don't speak, nothing said is important, and everything would be in vain. But Lord, if you feed us, we will have eaten from on high. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for the Spirit of truth, and we release this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have a word from the Lord tonight. If you will open up your Bibles to the book of Acts in the 19th chapter, I have something to share. How many know when you have something that's hot, the first thing you have to do is let it go? If you know that, you'll hurry up, please, and turn to the 19th chapter of Acts, please. Because I got to let this go. We're going to start at the 11th verse. And we're going to read to the 18th verse. Verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known unto all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Tonight I have three questions that I'd like to ask you. You don't necessarily have to answer these questions aloud, but you do have to answer them. They are very important. They may seem simple, but these three questions I need you to ponder, please. And the first of the three questions is found in verse 15, and it is simple. Who are you? Which also happens to be the title of my message tonight. Who are you? It's simple. I'm not talking about what's your occupation. I'm not talking about how much education you have. I'm not talking about your economic status. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who you are. Who were you created to be? That's what these evil spirits that was in this possessed man asked these seven young gentlemen who tried to perform an exorcist. The reason why is it important for you to know who you are is because it'll shape and mold the things you do with your life. If you know who you are, you'll know where you're headed, and because you know your destination, then you'll know what you should be doing until you get there. The opposite holds true. If you don't know who you are, and if you don't know your destination, then you won't know what you should be doing until you get to wherever it is you're going. Simple, but true. And one of the things that has escaped us because of our fallen nature is our identity. Our true identity. And because this identity is gone from us, the devil knows this. You know what he does? He offers many identities to us. Identities that don't belong to us. Identities that we take if we don't embrace the truth. Because we operate based on what we believe. So he pours out a plethora of lies, many in which we have rejected, but many in which we have also embraced. And when we embraced these lies, we became what we believed. And that's not who we are. Who are you? Who are you today? It may seem simple, it may seem foolish, but you have to answer that today. Because depending on who you are will depend on what you do, will depend on how you act, will depend on where you go, will depend on how you respond. Who are you? Who are you? Now, these young men did not know who they were. They were entering into a spirit realm. The seven sons of Sceva, the Bible calls them Jews. They were of vagabond Jews, which means that they were going around trying to cast out spirits, trying to perform miracles for money, reading people's fortune and things of that nature, though their father was a chief priest. They were out of order. They were totally out of bounds. That's why these evil spirits that was in this man was able to look at them and say, "Who are you? What are you guys doing?" A lot of us too were out of bounds. A lot of us too were spoken to by evil spirits. And I thank God Almighty he allowed this encounter to be written down, that we might read it today. How many know this is for us today? These guys are gone. And it's a mercy of God that they were just beaten and wounded. Yes, they brought shame on them, but not ultimate destruction. And if you notice, they never got a chance to answer the question. What could they say anyway? Our father's a priest. We perform miracles here or there. The best thing they could have ever said, without having a true encounter with God, is that we are God's creation. But that's not enough to know that you were created by God. Because why did he create you? For what purpose did he create you? Animals are created by God. Bees and flies and trees were created by God. What's the difference between mankind and everything else that God created? You need to know that today. What's the difference between everything else that God created and then mankind? What's the difference? What's the difference? It's not good enough to know we are just creations of God. Yes, that's a beautiful place to start. But it's not good enough to stay there. Who are you? And my second question is, where is your ultimate destination? And my third question is, what is your purpose? What are you to be doing until you get to that destination? These men didn't know who they were. That's why they couldn't answer it. They were lost. They were in darkness. So this is why they imitated. They tried to copy what they seen the servant of the Lord was doing. If you see in verse 11, it says God was doing miracles, wrought miracles through the hands of Paul. So they were on the outside looking in. And they were watching the mighty things that was happening through Paul's life. And they would have been better off like the jailer in Acts 16 and asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" But no, they didn't want to go that way. They wanted to just copy Paul. How many know copying servants of God? It's not enough. Demons don't want to just see somebody copying somebody else. No. What authority do you have to even try to speak to demons? Who gave you that kind of authority? Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Who are you trying to talk to us? got some nerve. Now listen, it may seem funny. You know, I have permission to be myself. Thank you. These men were lost and didn't know who they were. And why I'm speaking on this tonight is because society is lost and they do not know who they are. And it is imperative that you understand who you are, not what you're doing, not where you think you're going, but who you are as you were created to be. Who are you? And again, if you don't have the right answer, if you can't accurately answer that, today you will be able to. Because God wants to give you the identity you were supposed to have in the first place. That is why Jesus came, that the walls that separated us from God might be broken down. And that God, who created us on the earth, can tell us why he put us here. Can tell us what we're supposed to be doing. Can tell us where we're supposed to be ending up. It makes sense. It makes sense. It's because I know who I am that I am standing here today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Who are you? Where is your destination? What is your purpose? What should you be doing until you get to your destination? These gentlemen frightened me because they couldn't answer, and they brought swift destruction, not utter destruction, but swift wounds and punishment and pain and shame upon them. But I don't know, we don't know the end of the story of these seven men, because that was mercy shown on them. They weren't destroyed. They were just beaten up, wounded, humiliated. It would be nice to know that they, at one time or another, did meet with Paul later and say, "Paul, look. We tried to do what you were doing. We saw that God was with you. We saw the power that was in the name of the Lord Jesus. But Paul, please tell us what's the secret." Paul would have told them, "You need to know him for yourself." There was a song we sung earlier where the sister said, "He touched me and he made me whole." You have to be touched by God. Your identity is found in the God who created you. That's your only place where you can find who you are. It is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came on the earth to tell you who you are and to tell you where you're going and to tell you what should you be doing until you get to the place that he has prepared for you. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So one of the things I need you to understand in this passage of scripture is this. And I couldn't even find it anywhere in the book of Acts or anywhere in the New Testament. Paul was never asked who he was. The devil, these evil spirits, they said, "Paul," they said, "Jesus, I know." And Paul, "I know." Paul is never asked who he is. Do you understand why? When you give your life to Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God begins to indwell your being, you don't have to send a notice out to the kingdom of darkness. You don't have to send a memo out to the kingdom of darkness. You don't. You don't. You don't need to fax any devil in hell. You don't need to tell them. As you begin to walk with the Lord who created you, as you begin to walk and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that is in you, they know who you are. Amen. One of the things that the Lord does when you give your life to Christ Jesus, The very first thing that God does is continuously reveals to you who he is. That's what he does first. But after that, as you read the word and as you pray and you spend time in his word, he also tells you who you are. You can't get it from anywhere else. That's why the church doors are open. Because men and women don't know who they are, and they can't operate in the life that God intends them to operate in. That's why Jesus said, I came that you should have life and have it more abundantly. So if he's came and he's offering life, what was it that you had before he came? And if you don't take the life that Christ Jesus is offering you, what is it that you think you have? It's scary. It's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. I would go on to say that you're just existing. You're not really living. You're existing. You're eating, you're drinking, you're going about doing this and that, and you're working. But you're not living the life you're supposed to be living. Because it can only come from God who put you here. That's what we all have in common. None of us put ourselves here. None of us had anything to do with our shapes and our sizes. The way we were created, what's built up in us. None of us had anything to do with it, but here we are. That's why it's so imperative for a man to seek God. That this thing called life can make sense. Seek God. The author and finisher of our faith. Seek God, the creator of the universe. Seek God, who is all powerful and mighty. Seek God. Seek the Lord Jesus while his arms are open wide. Run into his arms. Don't wait for trouble. He has an identity he is ready to give you. You know, I speak to a lot of people one-on-one ministries. Even in my travels, subways, and different places. And a lot of times when I encounter people, you know, I begin to not immediately like try to shove the gospel to them or anything, but it's coming. No, you know, in wisdom, I've learned to just let a person, you know, hear them out. Let me understand where they are. And I remember speaking to a man that was staring at me in a way that was uncomfortable. And I knew he was looking at me because he was of a different lifestyle and he saw something that he liked. And you know, naturally where I'm from, you get a little upset when you encounter a man like that. And you might want to say, you know, what are you looking at? With like an aggravated, you know, annoying look on your face, like you're ready to do something to him. Right? But the Lord said, go talk to this man. Go talk to him. Talk to him. Use this. Use this little thing that's going on. Use it for my glory. Use this thing here. Use it. Get up and talk to him. So I went over and I spoke to him. And I told him, you know, who I was. And he told me who he was. And I didn't let him speak much. The Lord just told me to minister love and truth to him now. Minister to him. And I said, do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much he wants to deliver you from that lifestyle? He didn't tell me he was about any lifestyle, but I was picking it all up in the spirit. God was just telling me to tell him. Do you know how much God wants to deliver you from this lifestyle? Do you know that you have taken on an identity that you were not supposed to take on? Do you know that you don't have to stay there? You can be delivered by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a sacrifice for me and you. Do you know how much he loves you? And the man began to weep. And he just said, pray for me. Amen. And there are other encounters where people have said, because this identity, because the words keep coming into their minds of who they should be. One time, this individual said to me, you know what? This is who I am. This is how I was born. Who told you that? The only one that can tell you who you're supposed to be is God. He created you. So who told you what you're believing? Who told you that? Where's this information coming from? You see, the bottom line is all of us have been onslaughted with lies. And yes, many of the lies Some of us rejected even before we gave our lives to the Lord Jesus. But guess what? There were some that we embraced and we became that. And I was talking to another gentleman that I've known for many years. And he had a problem with drugs. And he so desperately wanted to get off these drugs. And you could see it in his eyes. And I would talk to him and I would tell him the answer. And you know what? One day he said to me while we were talking, he just said, you know what? I'm not like you. I'm different. And yes, that's true. You are different. We're all different. But that's not who you are. That individual that you are right now, that's not who you're supposed to be. Yes, we're different. Yes, you haven't given your life to Christ. And yes, we don't talk the same. We don't do the same thing. We don't go to the same place. We have different personalities. Yes. But that person who you are right now, that's not who you're supposed to be. God didn't create you to be that way. He didn't create you and want you to struggle with the substances of the earth. When you read Genesis, he told Adam to have dominion over things. Now, days, the things that we were supposed to have dominion over us because of the fallen nature. And God says, I am ready still to give you a new nature that can override and supersede that sinful, dirty nature that you had. That's why we're without excuse. Because it's wicked and dirty and filthy and ugly and nasty as we are. God says, here, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And it amazes me. It absolutely amazes me at how long the Lord Jesus can keep his hands like this. It amazes me because I remember when I was in the street, taking on an identity I had no business taking on. Selling drugs. Trying to be a big drug dealer. In Queens, Manhattan, down 95, Baltimore, South Carolina, North Carolina. Just trying to open up. Trying to recruit. Trying to enlarge. Going places I had no business going. Doing things I had no business doing. Knowing in my heart, the depths of my heart, that selling drugs is wrong. But then the devil would come with some more lies and say, hey, but you're not making anybody do anything. You're not bringing it into the country. All kinds of lies that you probably still hear out there today to try to justify wrong. But one day, while incarcerated, the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm going to tell you, while I was out there, I would have the Lord speaking to me through different people. As a drug dealer, he's speaking to me. And I'm like, what is going on? I don't want to hear that. And I would just keep rejecting and ignoring and rejecting and ignoring. But I'm in jail. And then even after I'm in prison and I'm sentenced to a certain amount of years that I have to do, the Lord still had his arms open wide. This is why when I hear songs like Amazing Love, how can it be if you, my king, would die for me? It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, while I was in prison, I met a lot of people whose mothers have even said, don't call home anymore. Enough is enough. There are people who put their parents into all kinds of things, and there's only so much but a human being can take. But God, that's why I love ministering to drug dealers. I love going on street corners when it's full of thugs and their pants is down. And I just stand there and I say, Jesus loves you. I love it. 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 I don't care. I don't care if they got guns on them. I don't care if they got drugs. I don't care what they got on them. It could be on their way to kill somebody. I don't care. I'll stop right in front of them and say, how are you today? God bless you. Jesus loves you. And if they give me an opportunity to say more, I'm going to say more. A lot of times they respect it. They say, you know, I feel you, you know, and they just keep walking away. It's okay, though. It's okay. But what I'm saying to you tonight is that because I know who I am, I operate and I think differently. I think according to the word of God because I was created to think according to the word of God. I was created to walk in agreement with the one who put me here in the first place. I was created to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We all were created to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And if God's Holy Spirit is not abiding in us, some other spirit is. Some other spirit is. Because we all are born living in the fallen nature of our flesh, of our senses. We all need to take on an identity. We need to take on some kind of a goal that we need to set to become. We do it without even thinking. We just learn by looking and observing. And the devil knows this. That's how come he constantly pours out plethora of lies, not knowing which one you would gravitate to. But it doesn't matter, because any one of them and all of them send you to the same place for the same length of time. We weren't created to live in lies, to live by lies, to be controlled by them. We were created to live by the truth, because the truth created us. The truth made us. The truth made me and you. Lies didn't make us. But God, as powerful and awesome as he is, he says, you know what? Even though the enemy, the devil, who is the father of lies, even though he's going to come from all directions at him, he says, I'm going to still let him do it. But I'm going to present my truth to them, because my truth is so powerful. All they have to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, and accept the truth. I don't care where they are. They could be in prison. They could be on their deathbed. They could have all kinds of diseases. They could have slept with all kinds of people. But all they have to do, and the day they hear his voice, harden not your heart. But accept the truth. Accept and embrace the truth. Cling to it like your life depends on it. Because that's where you'll find your life in the first place. I pray that I am making sense tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. So they never asked Paul who he was anywhere in the New Testament. You can't find it. Because the Bible says, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that names the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. The Lord knows who's his. Demons know who belongs to the Lord also. And it's because I have my new identity, the new life that the Lord Jesus Christ offers us. And I one day in November of 1993 said, yes, Lord, while in prison. I've been taking on this new identity ever since. And I love who he's made me to be today. It is a life without worry. It is a life without shame. It is a life without regret. I never at one time said, Lord, I wish I had never chosen you. No, I'm so glad I chose him. In fact, I remember weeping so many tears for not choosing him early in my life. Nevertheless, he still was inviting me to himself. And as long as he was inviting me to him, I was running to him like a little child in their father's arms. I ran to the Lord. And he's keeping me still. And I'm going to tell you, it's because I know who I am in Christ. It's because I know my identity. It's because I know where I'm going and what I'm to be doing until I get there. I now say no more to so many things in this world. No more, because I'm going to tell you something. Listen, all the ingredients that makes up a drug dealer are still available today. It's still there. Everything is still there. But I say no more. I say no more to everything of this world, even all the relationships and the lifestyle that comes with having money. I say no more. No more. I say no more because that's not who I am. I say no more to adultery and fornication because that's not who I am. I say no more to illicit funds and to violence because that's not who I am. Knowing who you are is going to affect you in a way that you would never imagine. Knowing that God created you for a purpose and a plan is going to affect you positively. You and your children and your brothers and your sisters, your mother and your father, your uncle and your aunt, your nieces and your nephews. Hallelujah. And to all the parents that have a child that has gone astray and is living a wayward life filled of all kinds of wickedness, to those parents I say keep praying and believing and trusting God. And they don't have to end up wounded or ashamed like the seven sons of Sceva. They can come to a place like the jailer in Acts chapter 16 where he asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Our identity. Now you can write these scriptures down because I want to begin to answer who you are. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. So now the Bible calls us children. In another passage it calls us sons and the daughters of God. And all of these terms denote relationship. Not mere creation. Relationship. Where you can say, Father! If you're merely created by God, you can't do that. Because your sins have to be atoned for. You have to be cleansed and washed in the blood that you might have a right to say, Father! Because when you give your life to Christ, he cleanses you, forgives you of your sins, washes everything you did away, gives you a brand new slate, clean clothes that he might present you to the Father. And another passage of scripture, it says, the Lord is speaking and he says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you and you shall be my sons and my daughters. If they ever ask you who you are, say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a servant of God. I'm a follower of God. That's who I am. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed and washed by the blood. There's so many titles that God has given us. Sons and daughters of God. Children of the Most High God. That's who you are. Our destination, where are we headed? Jesus says this in Luke chapter 10 verse 20. He says this. You can write it down and you can read it later. Luke chapter 10 verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. God wrote your name in heaven because that's where he wants to bring you. That's where your destination is. Heaven. Heaven bound. Heaven. Next stop. Heaven. 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 The title. The title is right here. The title. Got your title already right there. Heaven, bound, bound for heaven. On my way to heaven. Now I'm repeating it because it's so imperative for you to get it into your thinking. Things are not going right on the job or in your marriage or with your children. You're still heaven bound. Cling unto the Lord and his promises because you are heaven bound. You may have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years left, but you're still heaven bound. It's important that you think like this. Another passage of scripture says this. What is it that you should be doing until you get there? And Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. John said in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, that he has created all things and for his pleasure he created them. You and I were created that God may be pleased with our lives. And because of that, we can all say no more to the things of this world. And I thank God that I can say no more. No more trusting in my wisdom or my intuition. And canceled my subscription to every superstition. No more walking. No more faith in fortune cookies or what the horoscopes may mean. No more fear of cats that God painted black or the number 13. No more club nights seeking skin tights only to end up in a hotel with bug bites. That's right. No more multiple. No more multiple relationships. No more manipulation with lying lips. No lusting with my eyes staring at her hips. No dirty drugs being found on these fingertips. I've been washed. I've been changed. And I'd like all of you to stand up. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now listen, as the ushers come, I just want to invite every single person, first and foremost, who have not been living a life according to what God has says you should live. If you don't know for sure that you're a son and you're a daughter, not just a creation, everybody in here is created by God. I'm talking about children of God. The altars are open and God's arms are open wide. And he says, come to me so that I can tell you who you are. And if you're saying, well, I don't have the strength and I don't have the power to be that. John chapter 11 in the 12th verse says, as many as believed in him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Amen. The altar's open. So as they sing, I'd like you to please come down. Please come down. Wherever you are, even in the annex, Lower Rotunda, wherever you are, please come. The altars are open. And say, Lord, I want you to tell me who I am, where I'm going, and what I am to be doing until I get there. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
What a wonderful word from God. I know the man who spoke to you this evening, and he's truly a man of God. Truly has a word from the Lord. It pours forth from his heart. I've watched God continue to work in his life, and I am so happy to see what God is doing in him and what God is doing through him. A wonderful question put forth tonight, and even in song, we hear it sung again. Remind yourself a passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews. A man basically asked a question, who am I that God would be concerned with me? Who am I? And he looks around him and he sees his situation and he says, I know I was created to be something different than this. You made me a little lower than the angels and he crowned me with glory and honor and gave me dominion over everything. But when I look at my life, I don't see any of those characteristics. I don't see myself reflecting God. I don't see myself having any authority in my life. This chaos and this confusion. And then the author says, right at the point of despair, but we see Jesus, who himself was made a little lower than the angels, but specifically for the suffering of death. When Jesus saw that we did not reflect himself and that we did not fulfill our calling in this life, he came and he died for us. He died so that we would not have to die, but not only that, but that we might live. So that we would never have to look at ourselves again, as we heard tonight, and say, what have I become? Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you so that you might have a life to present to him and a life to present to this society. You are created in the image and likeness of God for his glory, for his honor. And now Jesus extends his hand to you. And he says, take a hold of my hand. If you don't have anything else, just take a hold of my hand. Don't be afraid, he says. He said, I stretched these hands out for you 2,000 years ago. And I stretch these hands out to you right now. Your life will never be the same again. Take his hand. Take his hand. And let him redefine you. Let him change you. Let him give you a new name, a new life. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I take your hand, your nail-scarred hand, and I hold it to my bosom. I hold it to my heart. And I say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I receive you. I believe that you died for me on the cross. You died to save my life. You died to give me new life, to give me a new identity, to call me by your own name, to wrap me in your own life. I am new because of you. I receive forgiveness tonight. I repent of all of my sin. I repent of my own self-identity. And I turn away from every lie the devil has told me. And I cling to the truth that created me. Lord, you are truth. And I cling to you. I receive the life of God in Christ. And I acknowledge that I am a new creature. That I am a part of the new creation. That I am a child of the last Adam. And now, Jesus, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. And I say, would you cause your hand to rest upon each one? Would you cause your praise, oh God, to go forth from every life in this room, every life right now that has been given to you specifically tonight? Would you cause your praise to go forth so that men and women will know when they see these men and women that they have a new name? Father, we know tonight that there is a new name written in glory. And so, Lord, tonight we rejoice in the reality that there is a new name written in glory. We rejoice with the holy angels that God has been brought to himself a new name, a new child, a new son, a new daughter. God, we thank you for this and we believe you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you have given your life to Jesus for the first time tonight, would you just lift up your hand? We just want to acknowledge. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. What a wonderful time in your life. We have an usher here. But yes, thank you. Just raise your hand nice and high so everybody can see it. Who will invite you to go to a place downstairs? It's just a vestibule, a rotunda downstairs, where if you want someone to pray with you, they will pray with you. If you want someone to hand you a book of John, they will give you that. You don't have to go and you're under no obligation. But if you want somebody to pray with you, our sister is here waiting for you. She'll lead you downstairs. You can begin to move toward her where she is. Don't be afraid. If you want to go, there's an opportunity. Just go with our sister right here. Anybody else? Go ahead. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's the most wonderful time in any person's life. There is nothing better than to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
a new name written in glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, my brothers and my sisters. We thank you for being here tonight. Remember, the prayer meetings throughout the course of the week. Wednesday, seniors prayer. Thursday, we have prayer time. Tuesday night, you know, we have a meeting here. Friday night, we have a meeting here. And across the hall, Sunday, 10, 3, and 6. The Lord Jesus be with you. God bless you.